The annual meeting of First Defiance Financial Corp. is now called to order. I'm William Small. I'm Chairman, President, and CEO of First Defiance, and I'm going to act as the presiding officer of this meeting. I'd like to welcome the stockholders who are present and ask that if you have not signed the registration list yet as you came in, if you would make sure you do that before you leave, we would appreciate it. Start out with some introductions this afternoon. First of all, to my immediate left is Don Heilman, Executive Vice President, Chief Financial Officer. The table to my right is Jim Roars. Jim is an Executive Vice President of First Defiance and President, CEO of First Federal Bank. At the far end is Danielle Figley. Danny is our Corporate Secretary. And also at the front table is Kim Schaefer. Kim is with our legal counsel, Vori Sater Seymour Pease. And also in attendance is Laura Conkright. Laura is with Crowe Horwath, our external audit firm. So welcome to all of them. Our directors are seated up here at the front. Steve Boomer, our vice chairman and lead director. John Bookmeyer is not with us yet. John, I think, is traveling from Finley and coming through the door right now, so I'll really embarrass him. John, I did it alphabetically, and I just got to your name, so I blame the traffic. Dr. Doug Burgi, Peter Deal, Gene Hubbard, Barb Mitzel, Sam Strasbaugh, and Tom Voigt. I'd like to go into a PowerPoint presentation. We always have to start this off, and especially when legal counsel is present, with our safe harbor statement. Looking back at 2012, record net income for the year of $18.7 million, and this is accomplished in an economy that still continues to struggle through recovery. The second half of the year was certainly much stronger, gave us a lot of optimism coming into this year. And one of the big reasons that we had such a successful year was the fact that we had mortgage production that absolutely blew the doors off any previous level of production we had done before. As you can see, we assisted nearly 4,000 customers throughout our market area with mortgages in 2012. This totaled $546.5 million worth of mortgages. We also continue to be a very strong ag lender. Our growth has been what I would term as controlled growth. We actually shrunk the balance sheet in 2012, and a big driver in that was a balance sheet restructuring that we did right at the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2012. That will help us going forward. We already saw the impact in the fourth quarter in this very difficult interest rate environment as far as protecting our net interest margin. We are currently the largest community bank that's based in Northwest Ohio. That makes us large enough to offer a full menu of services, but we're still able to do that on what we consider a relationship basis, which is very, very important to our strategy. At $2 billion in assets, we are the eighth largest financial institution based in the state of Ohio. And when you think about the fact that the state of Ohio is the home base of Key Bank, Fifth Third, Huntington, First Merit, banks of that size, we certainly feel that we're amongst some pretty austere company. As far as the economy is concerned, I would say at this point we're cautiously optimistic. Certainly have seen a couple of indications here in the first quarter that I guess would have to give you a little bit of pause. But unemployment in the region certainly has improved. Most of our counties are still running slightly behind the national average, but with the strength of the auto industry coming back, that certainly has boded well for us and the employment picture throughout our region. From a regulatory standpoint, Dodd-Frank is still very much on our minds. That act was passed in 2010, if you remember, at this point, only one-third of the regulations that are dictated by that legislation have actually been implemented. So there's still a long way to go. We are very cautiously watching that. As part of that, I explained last year about our new regulators. We've been through two exam cycles now with the OCC as our regulator of the bank and the Federal Reserve as our regulator at the holding company. And I am pleased to report, and this was released in a couple of 8-Ks earlier this year, that the memorandum of understanding, the MOUs, have been lifted both at the bank and at the holding company, as both those regulators have deemed that we are in compliance with everything that was in those agreements. Also under Dodd-Frank, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is just now really starting to flex its muscles. I will say that at least on a preliminary basis, and what we've seen so far of the guidance they've issued on proposals for mortgage lending have not been quite as stringent or confining as we thought they might have been when they started working on those. Also, there's a lot of discussion about new proposed capital regulations. Basel III, if you read through the financials, every once in a while you'll see mention of Basel III. These are, again, still in proposal stages. We've worked hard at doing internal testing with the information that is available to us, and I believe that even under the strictest interpretation of those new capital guidelines, we are still going to end up being above the well-capitalized level. So overall, I'm very pleased with the core operation. We describe our strategy as pretty plain vanilla. We like our basic conservative business plan that certainly served us well through this recent economic cycle. We did see loan growth start to come back in 2012. We had the last three quarters of 2012, we had loan growth. We broke that streak here in the first quarter. I think there's a couple of reasons. You know, number one, just overall loan demand is down. First quarter, from just on a seasonal basis, is usually the weakest quarter for loan growth. But I think there's still a very tentative nature out there on the part of businesses to go into debt, especially with them, many of them being in fairly strong liquidity positions. Asset quality certainly has been at the forefront over the last several years. I mean, in our business, you always have to have, I think, three eyes on credit quality, not just two. And provision expense, while it certainly was down both in 2012 and in the prior year, 2011, over what it had been in 2010, it was still well above historic levels. But the lowering provision has definitely helped us with the bottom line improvement that we have seen. And first quarter, again, we saw some very good improvement. We did some economic forums earlier this year, and I said at that time that I felt that there certainly was going to be the improvement there that would get down to the bottom line, and that certainly held true here through the first 3 months of the year. Our charge-offs and non-performing assets, they ran higher in 2012, but this didn't involve any new credits. These were all credits that had been previously identified, just a matter of working them through the credit cycle, also with our new regulators and their interpretations and their guidance. We changed our approach in treating some of these and resulted in impacting some of those metrics. Charge-offs were back down to a more normal level here in the first quarter of 13. In fact, I believe that was our lowest since the first quarter of 2008 as far as net charge-offs. And classified loans are down significantly. And this is a very key metric as far as regulators are concerned. So that's certainly been a focus of Jim and all of the lenders over the last several years. Our credit quality management, number one, we know our customers. We're an in-market lender. We don't have loan production offices in Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Detroit, or any place like that. Our lending is all done out of our 33 offices. And I think the fact that we do know our customers goes a long way toward giving us a more of a comfort level on our portfolio. We operate with what I would certainly consider conservative underwriting standards. And again, with the cycle we just went through, that was very, very important going in. And certainly, we need to stay focused on that, especially in a period when everybody's fighting for every good loan that's out there. You cannot put yourself in a position of weakening your standards at all to get loans. Our credit administration infrastructure, we've worked hard to build up. I think we've, again, done an excellent job there of adding to our credit analyst and the research and data that comes out of that department in other ways, I think has been very, very instrumental in helping us continue to strengthen our credit outlook. And then we use an asset review committee. We have a very robust process within the bank as far as reviewing credits on an ongoing basis that allows us to stay on top of what's going on and hopefully recognize any weaknesses early on in the cycle. I mentioned before the capital. We've always been very focused on keeping our capital levels at high levels. We set internal targets. Our board has a capital policy that sets internal targets considerably above the regulatory levels, and we continue to exceed all of those. The fact that, and it certainly made it a lot more uncomfortable for a few years up here during this meeting, that we suspended the dividend back in 2009, I think I still defend as being a very prudent move on the part of our board as part of our capital management plan. Fortunately, we were able to reinstate that dividend at the end of December of 2011, and the most recent dividend, which was paid, I think March 8th, was the payment date. We actually were able to increase that dividend at that time. We will continue to monitor our dividends on a quarterly basis. Things that we look at, we obviously take a look at what our current capital position is. We look at our internal forecast as far as earnings, and then we look at the economic forecast to try to, again, make sure that we're staying ahead of the curve on making decisions regarding the capital and the dividend policy. And then the last thing that I think is very, very important is the fact that the capital purchase program, or TARP, which we have told you that we would exit no later than December of 2013, which would have been our five-year anniversary and would have been when the dividends on that would have increased from 5% to 9%. We were able to pay that off in its entirety in the middle of 2012, a year and a half ahead of schedule. And there's a regulatory approval process that you have to go through to do that. And to me, that approval that we got both from the OCC to dividend $37 million from the bank up to the parent, to the holding company, and then permission from the Fed to take that $37 million and pay off TARP was certainly a validation of their opinion of our capital position. We paid off that $37 million and still were able to stay above even our internal targets on capital. With that, I'm going to call on Don Heilman, and Don is going to review some of the financial highlights for 2012 and for the first quarter of 2013.
Thank you, Bill. As the slide shows, one of the themes, I think, when we look at the last 3 years is steady improvement. I mean, we stayed the course. I think the results show that we had prudent improvement where we thought we could have improvement. As Bill said, you know, a couple of the focuses were on the credit quality, clearly. And you can see we went from, in 2010, our provision was $23 million. 2012 was basically $11 million. So a huge differential in the amount of reserve for loan losses between 2010 and 2012. I mean, we were a little bit higher in 11. So strong improvement, as you can look at the bottom, you can see the improvement in the net income. So a lot of this improvement was driven by credit quality. And obviously loans are one of the biggest categories of assets on our book. So as loans react to the credit cycle, so does the bottom line of the financial institution. We were no different, but we were very pleased to continue our quarterly profitability throughout the cycle. And ended up 2012 with strong improvement on earnings per share, seeing 75 cents, 2010 to $1.81. So strong momentum. We carried that momentum into the last two quarters in 2012 into the first quarter, which I'll talk about shortly. But a lot of the theme ended up being with credit quality improvement. And we talked about classified assets and that continued trend down. By no means are we satisfied with where we are currently with our level of classified assets and still some of the delinquent non-accrual loan balances and portfolio. Still have a lot of work to do there, but we are directionally moving in positively forward and expect to see further benefits as we move forward. The first quarter, we released our earnings last night after the close of business. We reported $5.6 million, or 55 cents per diluted share, very consistent with the last two quarters of 2012. Biggest driver was our provision for loan loss, $422,000 in the first quarter. That's the lowest point that we've been in multiple years. As Bill said, our net charge-offs were at 18 basis points, lowest in 5 years. We were 200 basis points higher than that a year ago, 218 basis points. So we basically cut $7 million off of our charge-offs from the first quarter of last year to this year. Huge momentum changes. As we look forward where we think the will track, I think it's going to be very positive that we've hopefully identified things, not without some future issues going forward. But we think we're back down to a more normalized level, not to a pre-recession level, probably a new normalized level as we start going throughout the course of this year. But again, credit quality and that improvement and that number as well as the additional expenses. If you look at credit quality and what all that affects, it's not just the credit charge-off or the loss on the loan. It's legal expenses, collection expenses. If it goes to OREO, you've got the maintenance, cleanup. All those types of expenses run through our P&L. And as we have more of those types of issues, we've got that expense. So as those start to migrate down to lower levels, we should expect improvement, not just on the provision, but also the non-interest expense side where we have the credit costs. We had $1.2 million of credit-related costs in the first quarter of 2013. So as you can see, that's still a substantial number, and we expect that number to go down in the future. Net income. As I said, we saw the EPS, we improved $1.4 million or 34% over 2012 first quarter. Net interest margin. We were flat at 378 quarter over quarter. That still remains a concern, quite frankly, that we still need to be very diligent about our pricing. We see a low interest rate environment. We expect that environment to continue for multiple years into the future. We don't expect to see any real dramatic changes in the growth patterns of the economy over the next at least year or two. So we expect to be in this kind of rate environment for an extended period of time. That's challenging to make money as a bank when you look at the spread between the assets and your liabilities. So we still need to be very focused on how we price, make sure we price for risk, and then we have a very competitive pricing environment. And then fee income is a challenge. As Bill said, there's still a lot of Dodd-Frank impact that we had in 2012 and yet to have. And in 2013, as a lot of the rules still get written that affect NSFs and possibly the number of NSFs that we've been charged for, how we cover overdrafts, things like that are all still being worked out through the Dodd-Frank legislation and others. So, still have a very challenging operating environment through the rest of 2013 and into 2014. And we're a little bit, like Bill said, cautiously optimistic that we're seeing, you know, kind of a move to the trend. We are seeing a little bit bottoming out of some of the collateral values, hopefully seeing more on the upside as inventories narrow and there's more competition for new housing that will drive the prices up. But in general, we've seen kind of flattening out of the commercial real estate market. And hopefully, I'm very conservative by nature, so I won't say we've seen the bottom, but it sure feels like we're getting close if we haven't seen the bottom or not. The decline in the real estate values, so we're getting close. So, mortgage banking, as Bill said, that still continues to be a very strong piece of our business and will continue to be a strong piece of our operating environment going forward. We are a residential lender. We sell most of our residential loans in the secondary market and book the gain on sale. That goes to the P&L as the mortgage banking revenue. We still showed very strong volume in the first quarter. We made over 868 loans that we sold in the secondary market in the first quarter, $108 million. So that's a very strong number. As Bill mentioned, we had very strong record overall annual production last year. At some point, we know that's going to decline. You know, 80% of our business in the secondary market is refinances. So we know at some point in time that's going to migrate. That number was higher at one point. It was closer to 90 or 91% a year ago. So we've changed it, got a little bit more purchase business than we did a year ago. But we know that'll change. So we're looking at ways to supplement that revenue as mortgage banking declines somewhat due to the extended low interest rate environment. You know, we could probably sit here last year and say, well, there's probably heard the same thing from me. You know, even when you're in this low rate environment, you expect at some point there's not going to be a lot more refinances. That market, especially Northwest Ohio, has got to dry up. But we didn't see it in 2012, and we're not seeing it so far in 2013. So we're very encouraged that we'll continue to start mortgage banking. With that, I'll turn it back over to Bill.
Our focus as we continue on into 2013, we kind of consider like a three-legged stool. There's asset quality will again be something that we'll be very, very focused on. Revenue growth, and the challenges that we have with trying to fill that gap with net interest income being challenged by the low rates and lower loan demand. This is one of the reasons we continue to remain focused on growing our both our insurance business and our wealth management business. Both of those had good results in the first quarter of this year that certainly are helping us offset some of that drop in net interest income. We're going to continue to stay focused on those. One of our strategic objectives this year, Jim has been working very hard with Mike Klein and everybody over at the insurance division, as well as our wealth management people and private bankers to team up with our commercial lenders and try to build as full a relationship with our customers as we can. And already in the first quarter, as we've launched this, we've had some good successes with it and certainly hope that will continue. Managing the regulatory environment, Don and I have both talked about that a couple of times here. That's not going to get any easier. But we will stay focused on it and again try to make sure that we're ahead of the curve and can reduce the impact on any of the regulatory changes as much as possible. And developing trusted advisors. Every one of our employees gets scored on being a trusted advisor. They get rated by their supervisor on their meeting certain expectations as far as being there for their clients. And we talk about clients being not just external clients, not just our customers that come through the door, but our internal clients, like our loan processing people, servicing loan officers, and things like that. So, you know, we think it's very, very critical to our relationship strategy that we have everybody in the organization being a trusted advisor. Our succession plan implementation. In January, We announced that I'm going to retire from active management as of December 31st of this year. It's a plan that I applaud the board for their diligence in working on this. We've had a very robust succession planning process in place for probably 4 or 5 years. And that's really been driven by the board. And it's gonna, you know, it's gonna pay dividends for us as we go through this transition. Don is, you know, more than capable at taking over as CEO of First Defiance. Jim staying in place as president and CEO at the bank. They know each other pretty well. They know where they butt heads and where they don't. But it's a great, you know, it's a great team that's gonna be at the top. And I think that, you know, it certainly looks, I think, very strong for First Defiance going forward. We've done a number of meetings with some of our investors, our institutional investors, during the first quarter of this year, and I think they're very comfortable with the plan that we have in place. And then the other focus is promoting the community bank difference. We honestly believe that there is a huge difference between a community bank and a regional bank. We want to keep the decision making as close to the customer as we possibly can, and at the same time make sure that we have all the controls in place to mitigate risk. This is, I think, the defining strategy behind First Defiance, whether it's at the bank, whether it's at insurance, whether it's at trust. You know, we just we want to be a relationship banker. We are relationship bankers, and that's going to carry us through, I think, very, very well, and continue to be lead to the success of First Defiance. We are committed to all of our stakeholders, our shareholders, our employees, our clients. We appreciate their trust and commitment to First Defiance, and I think that we're going to continue to grow this company to the benefit of everyone. With that, if we haven't answered all your questions, we'll try to do it right now. Greg.
Bill, you touched briefly on the insurance side, but how will Obamacare and the implementation going forward in the next year affect the profitability and the procedures, the operations of that side?
Yeah, we've had actually since the passage of that legislation, we've talked about that very, very seriously, because benefits are certainly a major portion of our insurance business. Through recent acquisitions, we've been able to, I think, strengthen the commercial lines on the P&L side of it, but we are very, very closely watching the benefits side. Overall, and I think Don can probably speak to this a little bit better, but overall, we think that, you know, over the next few years, there probably will be some shift, but there's still going to be a need out there for the product, and you know, we feel like we're positioned well. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add on that. Or?
Yeah, I think you know, it's about a third of our business right now, in the insurance side of it, so it's a substantial piece. I think going forward, there's still a lot of unknowns. I mean, it's not like we can sit down and look at the roadmap and say, here's exactly how it's going to impact us. And this piece of our business is going to be going through these the states and the federal government pools, et cetera, and that we won't get that revenue. It's still being worked out, but you know, we know it'll change. We might need to change from a commission to maybe a fee-based basis, where we help our clients navigate all this new regulations, and maybe there'll be a different opportunity in that respect to help our clients. But we know that, like Bill said, if we're in the business to help clients, we'll be able to make some money on that. We'll be able to help them navigate through this whole confusing issue of healthcare. To actually quantify it, you know, we're not expecting a lot of change in 2013 or 14, quite frankly, from that registry.
We've hosted a couple of different seminars or meetings for some of our commercial clients on that topic to try to, you know, share with them what, you know, what our view is on it and what we see, and those have been well received. Any other questions? and we take away TARP and MOU, and it just...
What about from the efficiency side? I didn't hear you say anything about, I know you monitor those, your efficiency, the ratios there.
Yeah.
What kind of progress have you made in the last year? What do you see going forward in that area?
Yeah, as I, and that is one of our three major focuses is expense control. We did have an increase in our efficiency ratio in the first quarter. In particular, there were two extraordinary items that that impacted that. One of those was an accrual of $581,000 that we set up on some Fannie Mae loans, some loans that we had sold to Fannie Mae, and these were all pre-2009 that ended up going through foreclosure. Fannie Mae is doing a post-foreclosure review, and they're doing this with all banks. They started with the largest banks, and now they're down. They're at least down to the $2 billion asset level, and it made a lot of headlines several months back, as you saw some of the adjustments that some of the larger banks made in settlements with Fannie Mae. But anyways, they gave us a list of loans that they wanted to review. That does not necessarily mean that that they're going to be pushed back. And again, these are properties that have already been foreclosed upon, so it isn't a case where we can just buy back the loan and manage it. But as we went through the loans to prepare them for shipment to Fannie, we did a very thorough internal review, and with that decided that it was probably best for us to take an accrual in the first quarter, the $581,000. There was another $100,000 or so related to a tax issue that also, you know, both of those I would pretty much consider non-recurring. Outside of that, I think overall we've done a fairly good job on expense control, but we're not going to let up on it. Over the last couple of years, we've done a pretty thorough look at what our personnel levels are. And try to make sure that we were staffed properly. We know that, again, being a relationship type bank, we're not going to operate at a 50% efficiency ratio, but we are very capable of operating at a 60% or below efficiency ratio. Right now we're in the mid-60 range, which to us is high. On a peer basis, we compare very, very well.
Fannie Mae accrual affected the efficiency ratio?
Yeah, that would go in there.
It went up about 4%. So we would have been down if you take out those one time things from an efficiency ratio standpoint for the first quarter. We had a little improvement, about flat.
Well, if there are no other questions, we'll go ahead and proceed with the business part of our meeting. The Board of Directors has appointed Kimberly Schaefer as Inspector of Election. All executed proxies and the list of stockholders have been turned over to the Inspector of Elections. Danielle Figley will serve as our secretary for the meeting, and Ms. Figley will now report on the notice of the annual meeting. Dan?
Mr. Chairman, on or about March 22nd, 2013, notice of this annual meeting, together with a proxy statement, form of proxy, and copy of the corporation's annual report for the fiscal year ended December 31st, 2012, were mailed to the stockholders of record as of March 1st, 2013. I have submitted an affidavit verifying the mailing of these items. The Inspector of Elections will now report on the votes present at this meeting.
Present at this meeting today are 7,892,899 shares.
Thank you. A quorum is present, either by person or proxy. So this is a legal meeting called to transact the business set forth in the proxy statement and such other businesses may come before the meeting. Any stockholder or proxy holder who has not already done so, please give the Inspector of Election his or her proxy for verification. So if you brought your proxy with you, rather than submitting it earlier, if you would turn that in, we'd appreciate it. There are four items to be considered at this meeting. Item one is to elect four directors for three-year terms. This item requires only a simple majority of shares actually voted. The company bylaws provide for a classified board, and four persons have been nominated this year for election to a three-year term expiring in the year 2016. I will now recognize Tom Voigt, who is chairman of our Corporate Governance Committee, who will present the slate set forth in the proxy statement. Tom?
Those persons nominated by the Board of Directors in the term is as follows. John L. Bookmeyer, 3 years, expiring 2016. Stephen L. Boomer, 3 years, expiring 2016. Peter A. Deal, 3 years, expiring 2016. And William J. Small, 3 years, expiring 2016. I move that these individuals be elected to serve on the Board of Directors of First Defiance Financial Corporation for the terms of years stated.
Is there a second?
Second.
Item two is a non-binding advisory vote required by the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2010. Shareholders are asked to vote on the following resolution. Resolved that the shareholders approve the compensation of First Defiance's executives as named in the summary compensation table of the company's 2013 proxy statement as described in the compensation discussion and analysis, the compensation tables, and the related disclosures contained on pages 15 through 31 in the proxy statement. Item three is a non-binding advisory vote required by the Dodd-Frank Act on the frequency of a vote on executive compensation. Shareholders are asked to vote on the following resolution. Resolved that the shareholders advise that an advisory resolution with respect to executive compensation should be presented to the shareholders every 1, 2, or 3 years as reflected by their votes for each of these alternatives in connection with the resolution. And item four is a vote to ratify the appointment of Crowe Horwath, LLP, as the independent registered accounting firm for 2013. There have been no other nominations or items submitted to First Defiance pursuant to its bylaws. Said bylaws require 30 days written notice prior to the annual meeting. Are there any questions concerning the items on the ballot? If there are no questions, the items will be put to a vote, and the polls are now open. And I'm assuming because of the before that nobody had a proxy, that is there anybody in the room that wants to vote a ballot that has not voted prior on a proxy? If there are no other shares to be voted, I now declare the polls closed and ask the Inspector of Election to tabulate and announce the results of the voting.
Thank you. I'm pleased to report that Mr. Bookmeyer, Boomer, Deal, and Small have all been reelected for a three-year term. The executive compensation advisory vote has passed on approving the executive compensation. The advisory vote on how often that executive compensation vote will be held has been approved at every year. And the Crowe Horwath has been ratified as the auditors for 2013.
Thank you, Kim. There's no other business to be brought before this meeting. I'll just ask if anybody present has any other questions. If not, thank you for attending today's meeting. Executive officers and directors will be available afterwards, after we adjourn, to answer any other questions that you might have. May I have a motion to adjourn the meeting? And a second. All in favor of adjourning the meeting, signify by saying aye. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.